It's just it's speculative things. Although manifest, the world cannot explain the least degree independently of Paramatma. So without Paramatma being discussed, who is the origin, who is the creator of this universe, then the description cannot be meaningful of the universe. If it were capable of being so explained, then it would be equal to a conscious entity like Paramatma. So Jiva Goswami's explanation of this verse: although the world is certainly manifest, Jayamana. So we can say, actually, we can experience universe is there because we are part of it, right? We are part living within the universe. So we know that it exists, you know. Yet even a minute part of it, anurapi, independently, without Paramatma, take Atma, the world could be explained without him, then it would be equal in consciousness or self-effugent. So like Paramatma Chitsam, it would also have one state always. So again, this is the point here, rising here, that we cannot remain ignorant of our Creator. Otherwise, all our attempts to explain, it's going to be futile. For instance, okay, text 80. Paramatma is free from adjuncts. So, Paramatma adjuncts mean upadhis. Upadhis are there in the unit, but Paramatma is completely oblivious. When we saw that before, Paramatma is the fourth state, Turiya state. So Jiva Goswami anticipates a true transformation universe. So that's what Shakti Parinambada is saying, that because Paramatma remains unchanged, where the universe is being changed all the time. You know, what is changed is Paramatma's external potency, Maya, this primordial material region, that's what's changing, not Paramatma's Swarupa Lakshana. So if Paramatma, if there is no transformation of without Paramatma, so if there is no Paramatma, universe cannot come into existence, then how can Paramatma, having the limited agent of the universe, be established as free from all such agents? Nirupadi. Very complex things here is the, what we are seeing here. So point here is that what Vivartavadis might object to these things here. So what they might say that because Satyaparinamada says there is no transformation of Paramatma. So if it is so, without Paramatma, then how can Paramatma, having the limited agent, upadhi, because they see in their mind is Brahman. Because they don't believe in Paramatma. So what they are saying, talk about Brahman. So what they are saying, Brahman, because they speculate, Brahman self undergoes changes. When Brahman comes in contact with the body, in this three modes of these mayas, to this physical body, then this Maya, this body, superimposes this upadhis on Brahman, and then that Brahman becomes Jivas and also the product universe. That's what they're talking. So, and so Brahman itself, what they are saying, that it's undergoing that the avidya potency of Maya. But here, Satyaparinamada doesn't say that. So he's saying that if the universe established as free from all such upadhis, how can it be? Does this mean that there is another condition, unconditioned Paramatma? So then Vivartavadi said that maybe just like their own theory, the part of Brahman comes under the avidya potency of Maya and becomes universe, and part of Brahman remains unaffected. That what they are saying that. So that if they are saying that you Shakti Parinamvadis, if you are going to project the part of Paramatma, so it could be, there can be many different kinds of Paramatma. One kind Brahman from Sanskrit plurality. So there might be different kinds of Paramatma. And we know that they say that we know there are different kinds of Paramatma. We have Mahavishnu, that is the Paramatma of the entire cosmic manifestation. Then there is a Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, that is the Paramatma of this particular universe, individual universe. And then there is a third Paramatma, this is the Shirodakshaya Vishnu, each and every soul, each and every living entity, in their heart Paramatma resides as the super soul. And that is the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So indeed there are three Paramatma, they are saying that. Isn't it that? They are asking that, you know. So in order to answer, Jiva Goswami is being out signing these words. Okay? Now pay close attention to that. How this verse is very clearly saying, even though it seems like there's a plurality of Paramatma, there are three kinds of Paramatma, but they are not exactly in an ontological sense. Okay? Let's see the verse. Nahi Satyasya Nanatvam. So Nahi Satyasya Nanatvam. So this plurality is not the reality actually. It's not what it seems like, you know. Nahi Satyasya Nanatvam A Vidvan Yati Manyate. If some people think like that there are plurality of Paramatmas, then this is A Vidvan. Then he is not the real learned person who thinks Manyate like that. What is Nanatam Chitra Yor Dvaja Jyotisha Avat Yor Iva? The Sukadeva Goswami's response here. There is no plurality, Nanatvam, at all at the absolute truth. Satyasya, there is Paramatma, absolute truth. If one thinks of it is diverse, then he is devoid of authentic knowing, Avidvan. Because its plurality is like the distinction between the space, between the light in one's courtyard and that providing the world. This is sunlight. If you see in the backyard of your house, there's sunlight. And the sunlight all over around you, around your house. So you said that no, this sunlight is different than this sunlight. This plurality. But we know exactly it's the same sunlight. It's showing there in the backyard of our home as well as all around the city or whatever within the field of our vision, you know. It's the same thing. So that's what this verse is pointing out there. So if you think that is a different kind of sunlight is there, then clearly that's not an intelligent conclusion, you know. So it is like the distinction of the space between the light in one's courtyard and that pervading the world. And between the air outside and inside the body. Can we say that there is air within our body also, and there is air also externally? Internally. So are there different kinds of air? We know it's not. Same air outside, same air is within ourselves also, you know. So to think otherwise, it's nonsense. Very nice verse. So Mayavadi is do postulate two categories of Brahman, because they, in their hypothesis, they are talking about two kinds of Brahman. One Brahman, part of Brahman, comes under the influence of avidya potency of Maya, whereas other part of Brahman remains totally free. So that is the Brahman which does not undergo transmission, and part of Brahman goes under transmission due to the avidya potency of Maya, and then becomes Jiva and the universe. Because it's their mindset is like that. That's why they're thinking, that's why they're raising this point. So they are able to understand that, you know. So they think this apparent three different Paramatmas, and that means the plurality of. So one of these Paramatma might be coming under the transformation changes, another is not. But in reality, all three Paramatmas are indeed the same. They are the expansion of the same Paramatma. So Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu are not truly different. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Mahavishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So ultimately they are all one and the same. So Mayavadis do postulate two kinds of Brahman with Upadhi, Brahman under avidya potency of Maya So the jiva plus the universe, and so that's how when it comes under the avidya pottery, then becomes jiva and the universe. And one without upadhi, there's the real one, the only one. While universe is illusory, that's why they are forced to project that assumption, faulty assumption. Indeed, there are no divisions in Brahman or Paramatma. Okay, so that's very successfully Jiva Goswami has refuted that. So even though it seems like there are three Paramatmas, but ontologically they are one and the same. Then each of them, they are expansions of that one. So another possible option. So there are three Purushas. That's what exactly what I just said. And this Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Are there three different kinds of Vishnu forms are there? And there are three kinds of Vishnus? No. There are different three forms of Vishnu, but the Vishnu remains only one. Lord Vishnu. So how can such a plurality be denied here? That's what the point here. So response is here. Although there are three manifestations of Paramatma, they are one ontologically same. There is only one. There is no ultimate difference between them, unlike the difference between the two Brahmans, with or without Upadhi as postulated by the Mayavadi doctrine. The Sankhya Parinatha does not say that ever Paramatma comes under the Upadhis. Paramatma never comes under Upadhi. He always remains transcendental. Okay, the last verse. I hope everybody is clear about this. All worlds signify Bhagavan. Sudeva Goswami exemplifies this statement. Yatha Hiranyam Bahuda Pratiyate Rubhi Kriya Vir Vyavahara Vartamasu Evam Vacho Vir Bhagavan Adokshraja Vyakhyayate Lokik Vedikar Janeyi. Just as practical dealings, gold is pursued in many forms. So again, a nice analogy. Just as practical dealings, pursued in many different forms. You know, different ornaments like bangles, earrings, and so on. Same gold, different forms, different ornaments by human being processes, kriya bhis. So Bhagavan too, who is beyond sense perception, adokshaja, is described vyakhyayate by people through words, vacho bhihi, both Vedic and secular. So, very clearly that, let me go back to this slide. So what Sudeva Goswami is saying, that all worlds, say everything that we have in this universe, they are ultimately signifies Bhagavan, you know, ultimately, because it's Bhagavan, without Bhagavan nothing can exist. Just as practical dealings, so, just like gold is in the different forms of ornaments, you cannot say that gold is not there. When gold is transformed in or whatever, you know, earrings and so on like that, and that is made by a jeweler, you know, by his skill, kriya bhi. So Bhagavan too, who is beyond sense perception, so Bhagavan is also great jeweler. Is described with people through words, vacho bhi. Both in Vedas, they all describe the same thing. Actually. So this analogy, if you remember the analogy, then it will bring the point home very clearly. You know? So gold is there in ornaments, bangles, earrings, so many different kinds of ornaments. So they are one and the same. Gold is already there, inherently there. You know. So you cannot describe earrings, bangles, and so on like that without invoking the thing which is made of that gold. It seems like you can. Okay, so that concludes this class. So I gave you quiz questions answered. And again, my very objective in giving you this quiz is basically the same, you know, just to give you the highlights of a particular class. So if you solve these quizzes, then you'll understand the highlights of a particular topic that we discussed. You know. So here, I give you time. And finally, when I send you PowerPoints, so I purposefully send you PowerPoints just about a couple days before the class. You know. So now I'm giving you the answer. So hopefully, you might have solved it beforehand. So what are the Jiva's three states of intellect and their associated limiting agents, upadhis? What is yet the fourth state and who does it belong to? That was the question. It's a quiz. So of course we know in PowerPoint 3 that these three states of buddhi are what is wakeful state, dream state and shukti, the deep state. And what are the associated limiting agents? That is the Vishwa is corresponding with the awakening state. Vishwa means surrounding and one enters in it. And the dream states, upadhi is what? That is the Tejas, the fiery element. And the same with the third one, that is the Sushruti, the deep sleep. That designation state is what? That is the Pragna. That is the ignorance, avidya. And the fourth state, when the jiva becomes completely free from these three upadhis, then comes to the fourth state, that's a turiya state, you know. So jiva completely free, so then jiva himself also can come to this fourth state. And Paramatma is of course, obviously, is always remains in turiya state. Second quiz was, what are the positive and negative concomitants? What is means of concomitants? Is transformed into what's concomitants means of. So what are the positive and negative ways? So when the cause is present, an effect manifests. This is called anvaya. So we discuss that we can say certain thing either in a positive way or in a negative way. Same thing. So this is called anvaya when we say positively. Cause is there, effect is there. And the negative way, if there is no cause, no effect, same thing. But in a negative way. So negative way is called, so conversely the cause is absent and the effect is also cannot be generated. So this is called vyatireka, so in Sanskrit. So that's a negative concomitance. Third quiz, what are the two types of causes? How is Paramatma's causality is classified? So again, two types of causes, Vedika and Laukika. Vedic means based on the Vedas, Shabda Brahma. And Laukika means that is the empirical in whatever we know about it. Paramatma's causality is of course Vedic, Shabda Pramana, Vedas. Fourth quiz. Explain the analogy given to understand that Paramatma is the potential cause of the universe and yet the universe does not manifest until Paramatma desires so. You know, that's very nice analogy given. The wood that has not yet been kindled has not been set to fire. Although wood is the potential source of heat, it does not manifest the potential unless it is set on fire. So, fire is there, already there, it is there, the wood is inherently it is there, but it needs to be set fire. The same with Paramatma also, this universe is there within himself, but universe does not manifest unless until Paramatma actually his will, his desires to bring it to manifest. You know? So that's what it is. So this analogy brings that point home. Fifth question. According to Shakti Parinamvada philosophy, an effect is certainly present already in the cause. Exactly that's what we saw in the last week's class and today's class also actually. How can then one defend against seemingly logical criticisms of Vivartavadis? why does an agent have to act to produce the effect? And second point they might say, why do cause and effect have different names, qualities and functions? And the answer is very straightforward. The cause is not exactly the same as the effect when manifest. An agent is needed to manifest the effect from its potential state. So cause must be there to manifest the effect from its potential state. So effect is certainly there, certainly dormant way is present within the cause itself, but the cause is the one decides when to manifest that effect. That's the point here. So that's the answer to these questions that we already discussed so far. Last, since Paramatma is unaffected by the universe, does this mean that there are two Paramatma? Again, we discussed this point also very clearly. So that's what the Vibhartavadi said, that there might be multiple Paramatmas, you know, because there are three Paramatmas that we know, that three Purushas, you know, Karadaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Vishnudaksha Vishnu. So that's what they are saying, that there's maybe one of the Paramatma might be delimited or come under the influence of the Upadis, and other Paramatma may not be there. Just like they are saying, the Brahman, part of Brahman comes under the influence of the avidya points of Maya and then becomes Jiva and the universe, this material world. And the other part of Paramatma remains unaffected by the Upadis, you know. And that's the one, the reality, you know. The other one which comes under the influence, that's the product is illusory. On that kind of mindset, they are saying that here, Paramatma that you are invoking, there also must be a plurality of Paramatma, different kinds of Paramatma. Some are come under the influence, and some does not come under the influence. And they are citing these particular three Paramatma that we know already. You know. So here the Jiva Goswami is pointing out that yes, there are three Paramatmas, but that's not a true plurality. They are ontologically one and the same. They are just expansion of one another. You know. They are not truly three different Vishnus. There are two, three different Vishnu forms, but not three different Vishnus. They are one and the same. Lord Vishnu exists in three forms, in functionally three different ways, actually. But they are not plurally. So there is no difference between them. Like the difference between the two Brahmas that Vibhartavadis are saying that. With or without Upadis. Okay. So you can see these questions pretty much summarizes the highlights of what we discussed. So this is just an example. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's what I'm trying to bring to the, hopefully to realize, all of you realize that, and make a really honest attempt. You don't necessarily need to show to me, but within yourself you do it. Then it will be your own help. You'll be helping yourself. You know? That's the point I'm trying to make, you know. See, there's you know, Sarat Prabhu, Lalit Mataji, they're all doing that, you know. And obviously, it's not like that they have free time. They are obviously, you know, Mataji is very, very busy actually, you know, and still she's managing to find time. This is here for your own good. And this is very, very complex philosophy to understand. So if you do this thing, it will help you. And but I please realize, in order to come up with these quizzes, I also have to spend a lot of time to come up there, you know. Hare Krishna. I think I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Bol. So next week, we'll begin with a new theme. And then that will make sense to all of this thing which you are talking about. That this is not just an academic discussion of this. A very complex theories and philosophies. Why Jiva Goswami bothers to put all these things in there, you know. Then it will become very clear. Hare Krishna. So let's see if there are any questions, comments. Asharath Prabhu. Vijay, thanks a lot for resolving the confusion in my mind regarding. Your deduction might be right, actually. You might still be right, but it is based on not a correct assumption. That's what I mean. It's crystal clear to me. British neurologist Sir John Eccles Nobel Prize in Medicine 1963. Wonderful. He says that. Asserts that there is no color in the natural world, and no sound, nothing of this kind. No textures, no patterns, no beauty, no aesthetics. My God. In short, none of the objective facts upon which we usually base our reality is fundamentally valid. So this is like Mayavadi philosophy, everything is illusion. Thus the Upadhis have been roles through the Maya, potency of the Lord, and accepted by science also, or is trying to see the logic, what you're trying to say. They are saying no patterns, no kind, nothing, no beauty, no sense, etc. So none of the objective facts upon which we usually base our reality is fundamentally valid. Thus the Upadhis have been playing their roles through the Maya, producing the Lord, accepted by science also. Okay. I fail to understand, but maybe you're right, I don't know. Thank you very much, Sharad Prabhu. Are there any more questions, comments? Comments, we got another chance, we got still quite some time.